Huzzah, Rangers! This is Phil Harris here at the Jacks Rangers Show. I am joined with Bozo Six at the Granite Bunker. How the hell are you?
I am doing outstanding. Cam, we missed that hair, buddy.
Yeah, no doubt. That is a, I mean, some people, like, if they cut their hair, it's no big deal, you know, but it's just, he doesn't look like the same guy. It's kind of strange.
It is no big deal to me, but then when I see it, I miss it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was great locks for sure. Like, no, very few guys on this team have better hair than Cam Davidowitz previously. Rest in peace to those locks. But I wanted to quickly go through our sponsor this evening, a little ad read here. This episode is sponsored by Inkify, custom printing and embroidery since 2010. Inkify provides high quality decorated apparel nationwide, from ordering the apparel to printing, adding a private label, folding, bagging, and fulfillment. They handle it all, so you don't have to. Visit Inkify.com to get started on your order and tell them TJRS sent you, and you'll get 15% off your entire order. I know you would like to get some shirts done at some point, Bozo, with a certain referee on there with the nose. Did you want to go ahead and give your boy a little shout out?
No, negative. I already got my t-shirt. I'm good with that. Don't want to bring in Inkify as a co-conspirator for the shirt. The producer of the shirt, thank you, will remain anonymous. The shirt is doing well. I'd like to, hey, congrats, Federico Anselmi Boli, I think is the nickname that they posted on there. 50 appearances in the middle. Incredible. I wish it was like 48 or 46, just less all the Free Jacks games.
Yeah.
But yep, man, congrats. He actually didn't. I was thinking back to the, we'll get into it. I was pretty critical of him during the match, but upon reflection and replay, I'm trash and I don't know what I'm talking about.
Wow.
He actually did a pretty good job, I think.
Well, you know what? It takes a big man to admit when he's wrong. And I believe that was an admittance of just being incorrect during the call. And he watched it over again and he did pretty good.
So either that or every dog has its day. I mean,
every dog has its day.
You know, so that 100%. Was his day in the Houston waning sun. Shout out to the terrible, terrible sun glare.
Yikes. Yeah, that is super bad. Like, I don't know how they fix that, because obviously the cameras are on that side and it looks like that's their designated area. But somebody forgot to, like, close the stands there. The sun peaks through. It doesn't look great on TV.
They just need to read their farmer's almanac, Phil, and adjust the game time accordingly, brother. That's it. Push it later by an hour or push it earlier by an hour, but do something.
Absolutely. I did want to mention there were some eyebrows raised when the team sheet was released for this game that we're about to review. Both Josh Larry Larson and Mitch Jacobson starting, and Mitch Jacobson was listed as the captain. We got clarification from Free Jacks general manager TK, who said Mitch is the on-field captain and Larry is the club captain, which I believe just refers to everything off of the pitch there. So I just wanted to clarify that, because I know a lot of people were questioning what took place there with Mitch Jacobson being the captain for the Houston game. And it sounds like he will be the on-field captain as long as he is available for selection going forward. Any thoughts on that?
Wasn't controversial for me, not because of anything. He took them through the season last year and now he's back, so he reassumes the role. I have no idea what club captain means. I would seek further clarification there. I'm not saying it's not a title. I'm just saying I don't get it. But from a practical standpoint, especially as a lock and a loose forward, those are positions that are very physically demanding in terms of impact. Like, both make a lot of tackles, both get around the pitch. So I think it's actually a good thing. There was always, real quickly, there was always a rotating who's the next captain up. Like, sometimes it was Mitch Wilson, sometimes it was this guy. We didn't really have a clear other captain other than Larry prior to Mitch Jacobson. So I actually really like this between the two of them. It's great. And then having two leaders on the field is always great. And then I think you were talking about this on the live stream. You know, the team is full of leaders.
That's right.
It's incredible. So, I mean, that's part of being a leader too, is I think probably one of the hallmarks of great leaders is that they can also follow. So exactly. I don't really care whether you're club captain, on the field captain, none of that matters to me. Both incredible players. Looking forward to watching them play on Saturday. LFG.
LFG, let's continue on here. I did get a message from a new Ranger who was asking about Cam's absence from the 23 since the return of Mitch Jacobson from New Zealand that began at the beginning of this month coming. He recently had a kid, so he's back now from New Zealand for 2024. And the emergence of Setta Baker from NPC involved in this team. Cam's playing time could be limited, but that could change, of course, with rotation, a loss of form from the current starters, and, you know, which we don't want to see. Injuries, of course, as well, is always a factor in rugby. So iron sharpens iron, Bozo. It's good to have such a deep roster, but that means some, you know, some of our favorite players don't get the appearances that we think that they should or whatever the case may be. It's just a matter of, you know, we got a lot of good players in that loose forward area.
Yeah, and like I already kind of touched on this. It's a high turnover area in terms of injuries. I mean, these guys, it's not a wonder if you look at the top tacklers in the MLR, it's almost exclusively like locks, loose forwards, centers. You know, so having Cam is more than capable of playing in the league. Expect to see more of him. He did travel with the team to Houston. If you had the discerning eye, you caught him in the photo. So it's not like he wasn't down there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a bummer, especially the local guys. You want to see them playing. He is an American, so that he has that going for him. So as they shift and shuffle the 23 and the international slots, you could see him come back into the 23. Yeah, it's 100%. A bummer to not see him play. Love my Plymouth State. Let's go.
That's right. Yeah, it's Bozo and Cam, both Plymouth State alums. Yeah, for the folks that were not aware of that. I wanted to mention the watch-along that took place during the game. Of course, every single away game, we have a watch-along that accompanies the broadcast of the actual game. The Granite Bunker watch-along for the Houston game went a lot better than the Chicago version, which had some technical difficulties. I think it was our best one yet, Bozo. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I got to do less screaming about the referee, but I think that'll get better as we don't have our boy in the middle there. So sure. That's good. I'm glad it went off without the technical difficulties. The Roku was a huge, huge win. Mm-hmm. Loving it. Like to apologize to the loyal listeners to TJRS who listen to every second of this show. You've heard my beautiful voice coming over your speakers like multiple times here. Just pulling the Greg Jennings, you know, putting the team on the back and just keep putting me in, coach. I'm here.
You know, we've had some other of the Outriders unavailable. So Bozo has graciously stepped in to be able to fill in some shoes here. Obviously Diamond Dave normally in the second seat, but he's I think going on a road trip with his family or something like that. So, you know, Bozo was able to come in here. We really appreciate you, of course, being able to jump in here and help out with the review and the preview. Let's talk about what a watch-along is really quickly for the folks out there that might not be aware of what a watch-along actually is. Watch-alongs are a live stream companion to the actual game. We don't broadcast the game, but we provide alternative commentary for every away game at Bozo's Granite Bunker that he's at there, which is in Parts Unknown, New Hampshire. Tune in about 15 minutes before kickoff to TJRS when the Jacks are on the road, and you'll get some quality entertainment and decent commentary for the most part along with your broadcasts.
Maybe I'll go pro someday, but not anytime soon. Following my boy Rob Hammerschmidt's
there you go
footsteps. Maybe I'll be on the sidelines. Wheels, get at me. I'll be your apprentice.
There you go. And with that being said, let's move over to the actual game itself. This is, of course, the Houston review, and I am taking this directly from the Free Jacks article from Elsa Edgar. On an 82-degree night in Houston, the New England Free Jacks knocked off the last undefeated Major League Rugby team, the Houston SaberCats, 47-35. The sellout crowd was treated to a phenomenal rugby match, which I absolutely agree with that assessment. The SaberCats scored first at the five-minute mark when Vice Captain Christian Dyer scored off a set piece to make it 5-0. David Kotza, conversion attempt double dinked off the goalpost and was no good. This began a trend as Kotsar would not have a good kicking night, missing all five of his conversions attempts, which is kind of baffling in modern rugby that you would miss that many. But 2 minutes later, Malachi Hala-Nagata scored a try for the Free Jacks. Jason Patras conversion made it 7-5 at the 12-minute mark. Patras sent a beautiful kick chase forward that we and Conradi converted into a try. Patras made his second conversion of the night, making it 14-5. Nearly 10 minutes later, Houston made a penalty kick to pull within 14-8. But in response, Patras chased down his own kick after a line-out win to score a try. His conversion made the score 21-8. While the Free Jacks seemed to be in control of the match, Wayne Vanderbank received a yellow card at 24 minutes in, and Houston took advantage of his absence at the 26 and 34-minute marks. Jeremy Masaligu and Kotsar scored Sabercat tries. Kotsar missed both conversions, setting the score at 21-18. Just before halftime, the Free Jacks looked to regain control of the match when Wayne Vanderbank scored his second try of the game after a 5-meter lineout. Patras' conversion was good, making the score Free Jacks 28, Sabercats 18. It was the Free Jacks' fourth try of the game, giving them a bonus point before halftime, their first since round one of the season. Wanted to ask you about your first half thoughts, because for the folks that watched the watch along, I was completely baffled with the Free Jacks leading by 10 at halftime.
Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, we really had no rights to be leading the game. The scrum was absolutely dominated. Houston scrum dominated the Free Jacks scrum. We were pushed around the park. I forget what the possession percentage was, but it was something insane, man. It was like, it was pretty much all Houston on attack, and we were making tackle after tackle. And credit to the Free Jacks defense. When they did get beat, they only got beat out wide, which made those conversions very, very difficult. So while I will agree missing 5 conversion attempts sucks, in the first half, you gotta take these things in context. Almost all, I think every single kick was from the pretty much on the sideline from Kotsar, and then yes. And then he was kicking into the wind. So a lot of his kicks actually didn't even make it to the upright. So you would see it, and his accuracy was kind of there, but then it just pushed the wind. Just you could watch it. You literally watched it in real time.
It cross-faced. It cross-faced the crossbars there.
So yeah, and that was crucial, because I can't remember at what point in the match. It was second half. We'll get to that, but it was like adding them all up. The 5 missed conversions was 10 points. That changes the whole dynamic of the game. Totally. So yeah, very fortunate for the Free Jacks, but yeah, I think the Free Jacks were pretty much just dominated at set piece, dominated in possession, but played really, had some really good defensive sets in there. Mm-hmm. And then just on attack, I don't know what coffee shop Larry took everybody to. I said it on the live stream. It was incredible. These guys were laser focused. Shout out to Green Mountain Boy mini team member Jason Patras getting the snub from the MLR again for that first 15 10 jersey in favor of Sam Windsor from Seattle. Who is that guy? Former New York Iron Worker, Rooster Booster, whatever the heck.
Also RIP. Houston Sabercat, yeah.
That's also true. Yeah, so I don't. Listen, what a first half from him. What a first half from Wayne Vanderbank. I'd say the yellow that he got was appropriate. I was just bummed for him.
Yeah, same. Just imagine what he could have done if he was still on the pitch for the entire 80. As Ranger John mentioned to me, I'd kind of forgotten that he got that yellow card because he was just so dominant throughout the entire game. But yeah, maybe could have scored another one if he wasn't off of the pitch for 10 minutes.
Real quick about him too. What I think what's crazy with Vanderbank is, like, I don't know what it is about him, man. It's the way he plays, the things he sees, and just the way he carries the ball. It's like a decision-making thing too. Because it's not just that he's a bowling ball. Some of those tries, like, I don't know if other players make that decision to kind of just go for it.
Nope.
And yeah, and it was incredible stuff to see. So it was really cool.
He's just super confident in his ability to not go down with that first defender. That first defender has no chance of bringing him down to the ground. It doesn't happen. Like, watch his, you know, takes every single time from this year and from 2 years ago. That first defender has no chance, man. Like, you got to get somebody else in there, because he's always, you know, moving his feet when he's in a tackle. He will brush off of you with a stiff arm. Like, it's impossible. My mom chiming in here. Hey, Phil and Dave. Not quite Dave, but all right.
Hey, they just missed the diamond. All right. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Exactly. I'll do my best, Dave, but I can't be as weird. I'm sorry.
Yeah. The Prince of Weird, it, you know, cannot be replicated. No. Let's see here. Let's go back to the Free Decks article with regards to the second half here. Okay, the second half began with the wind in the Free Jacks' face at the 48-minute mark. Reese McDonald chased down a beautiful run and kick, chase from Paula Belencana to score a try. The conversion was no good, making the score 33-18. The early portion of the second half was dominated by the Free Jacks as Vanderbank added a second try. Patros converted the made the conversion rather to make it 40-18. I will just say something real quick with regards to this article. It doesn't mention the first half scrum dominance by Houston, which was evident to everybody that watched the game there in the stands and that at home. You know, it wasn't a big factor in regards to the outcome of the game, but it was definitely a huge factor when you consider, you know, that's exactly what Houston wanted to do. We were playing. Two out of our three front row guys were not starters. So it's one of those things where, like, the bomb squad came on very early in the second half. But Houston, obviously a dominant team in the forward area. They want to bruise guys that, like, play the other opposition. And they just want to be able to play bully ball, essentially, in rugby ground and pound, that type of style. But it wasn't very effective against the Free Jacks with our dominance in the backs with Jason Patras pulling the strings here. After the final 20 minutes, Houston responded with three tries scored by Kotza, misconversion, and Lion Latu, misconversion, Tian Amersis, AJ Alatimo, conversion, to pull within 5 points at 40-35. With 3 minutes to play, the Free Jacks put the game away. Vanderbank scored his third try of the game, and Patras made the conversion to make the final score 47-35. The Free Jacks scored seven tries in the day's match, by far their best offensive output of the entire season. Vanderbank's third try of the game gave him a hat trick, and he was named player of the match. His quote is, "The boys are starting to click. When we hit our stride, we are a difficult team to beat. We know every team is going to come for us, so we have to be up for it every week," which is something that we've talked about on this show. The whole idea of playing the champions makes any mouse look like a lion, with the belief that they're going to knock off a big team and celebrate like they've won the World Series, as we've seen Old Glory DC do, and then they proceeded to tie two games after that. So the Free Jacks used their entire bench in the match, making it a true team victory. The Free Jacks are now 5-1, and they remain in first place in the Eastern Conference. The Free Jacks return home next week for a match against the Seattle Seawolves at 2 p.m. Eastern time, and it will air at 2 p.m. Eastern time on NBC Sports Boston, which is always encouraging. There's no tape delay there. Overall thoughts on the game, Bozo?
Yeah, so obviously, dub's a dub, great win. I was extremely concerned, and you remember this well from the watch along. I was extremely concerned of the 20 something points that are nearly that they almost let a 22 point lead evaporate. Right. When it's 40-35, I think there was like 7 minutes left or so when that score ticked over. And it's like, that's very much a winnable game for Houston at that point, especially given our homeboy, our number one supporter there in the middle, willing to, who had already showed us a slice of cheese and blew the whistle on us 15 times in the match. Mm-hmm. So I was extremely concerned. I get it, man. That's rugby. That's sport, right? Punch, counterpunch. You're never going to have that perfect win. It's never going to go all your way. The opposition always has a say in the match. But man, I just really didn't like that. I think that can't become a habit. You know that did not escape the watchful eye of Scott Matthews and the coaching group in terms of their assessment of the game. I'm sure that they've picked up on it. I'm sure the Free Jacks will work on it. I don't know what it is about this team though, man. Late in games, they just let other teams in. I've been saying it almost for, I feel like a broken record for like a season and a half. I don't know what it is, but I just want that last 20. I want the Free Jacks in the last 20 to literally put their foot on the neck of the other team and just stomp stomp. Totally. Like, no mercy. Yep. But other than that, I mean, what an attacking performance. First bonus point since week one, which I will say basically first bonus point one of the season. You can't take on the new guys and be like, yeah, that was a great win
over right.
U20. You know, you got to take that one with a grain of salt. But I really thought the Free Jacks looked very dangerous too. Very impressed with that attack, man. It's crazy.
It really is. Seven tries against a Houston team that was basically, they were truly undefeated and basically the best team in the West, not on point standings, but, you know, based on everybody's assessment with them being undefeated, to go down to Houston to play that team the way that they did. It's a Scott Mathey masterclass, in my opinion, with being able to absolutely shred their defense with our dominant backs. It was really, really impressive to see. I was never expecting that type of result. I mean, I thought it would be a little closer. And what you're talking about is a concern. We've talked about this all season long, where Free Jacks don't put teams away. Teams score in the last like 10 minutes consistently against us. And sometimes that doesn't really matter. It's in garbage time. It doesn't change the result, but most of the time it is kind of a closer game, and it makes us all a little nervous. It becomes squeaky bum time. And watching that game, obviously it got tight at the end there, and Wayne Vandermeek kind of saved our ass a little bit with his individual brilliance in this game, with scoring three tries, the most important one being at the end to put some distance between ourselves and Houston. But just an amazing performance, because like we all know that the Free Jacks are very, very good. But when you put in that type of dominance, especially with our back line against a very good Houston team, I'm just like, holy crap, we're really good at rugby. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, obviously, there's concerns with this team. We're not undefeated. We're not blowing teams out of the water left and right. We're not beating them by 80 points. You know, it's a very different year, and the concerns are real. But it's still nice. It feels good to be good, man.
Yeah. The last thing I'll say about it is, you know, you did mention, you know, hey, it's in garbage time. It doesn't change the result. But without Wayne Vanderbank's try, Houston escapes the match with 2 points.
Right.
Now,
right.
That doesn't matter to us because they're helps in the West.
Up. Yeah.
But it does matter when we play East teams and we allow them to claw their way back in. Because, listen, we're through, what, week six? It's week six, man. There's 10 more weeks to go in this season, right? That was week six.
This is week eight. So that was week seven. Oh,
That's right. Week seven, I'm off by one. My bad. I forgot about the bye week. But regardless, we're about at the halfway point of the season. There's a lot of rugby left to be played, and you just don't know when that table point is going to matter. Table points matter, man, and that's why they give them, because they reward your superior performance even in defeat. And so I just want us to see us more deny those, not allow those to happen.
I agree. I mean, you know, one of my, I think my first week was no mercy was my actual, you know, key to the game. And I think that should be the approach always. I hate to see us, you know, lose focus or whatever you want to call it and let teams come back in and knock on the door and try to steal one from us. Just like DC did that, right? The ill discipline that we showed at home at Fort Quincy is unacceptable. And they crept back into that game and won with a very difficult kick made by a very, very good fly half. And that the end result is we lose a little bit of that reputation of being a fortress. We lose the record of having beat Eastern Conference teams for the entire last season. And we go into, you know, the next week being 1-1. So it wasn't a good result back then. And it's still a concern to this day. You can't let teams come back like that. And by the way, the ill discipline still hasn't been solved, because the last game, we saw what, like 10 penalties in the first half? Like
a couple of those from the scrum, though. So it can not forgiven, but yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not tough, great. Man. But seven tries in Houston, man, I'll take it. I'm sorry. We're being hard on them right now. And I mean this with like all due respect and love to the players and the team, the coaching staff. I know the boys are working hard. We just, I don't know, man, as fans, we just love that extra ammo to just be able to dance on graves just a little harder, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we still can. Dub's a dub, right? Like they got true. It done ultimately, but there are things that can be fixed with this team, and we realize that. Let's move over to Musket Size Pants Tent. I've got AJ Alatimu, 31 years old, which I didn't realize he was that old. Samoan fly half, formerly with Seattle Seawolves. This guy has a cannon for a leg. I know Seattle fans are scratching their head about the departure from the Pacific Northwest for this guy down there in Houston now. How do you let a guy like that walk out the door. Like, I don't quite understand. That'd be like Jason Patras, like, we're saying goodbye to him and trading up somewhere else. Doesn't seem quite right. But he didn't have the best decision-making in that game against the Jacks, but overall a great player and a huge offseason pickup for Houston.
Yeah, I agree. Am I supposed to pick one or?
No, but you can make a comment about AJ.
Yeah. What a leg. Cannon for a leg.
There you go.
Moving right along.
Let's move over. Storming right along. Not quite, that's what we used to say in the show. Next one up is Wayne Vanderbank. For me, is my MVP. Wayne's World, Party Time, excellent. I've talked about how people forgot how good he was based on his injury-plagued season last year. But the entire league took notice on Saturday. He bagged himself a hat trick and could have had more if he had not seen a slice of cheese, as we talked about, in the form of a yellow card in this game. He's electric with ball in hand. He's a terror for that first defender, as I've mentioned. He doesn't get tackled by the first offender. He might be the best in the league at meters after initial contact. I don't know if that's a stat that people keep, but he's got to be really, really high up there. Yeah. So happy for this guy. The Free Jacks, once again, are in the debate about the best center pairing in the league with LaRue, Boardroom Benny. Let's not forget about him, who just recently had 50 caps. Congratulations to Ben. And Wayne Vanderbank. Like, really, really good. Of course, you got Gabe Casey waiting in the wings, injured right now, but he's another good, good young player. Who is your MVP?
Yeah, I mean, it gotta run the table with Wayne Vanderbank, but I'm going to channel my Diamond Dave.
Wow. And
give some positive shout outs. Congrats, Boardroom Benny.
Yes.
On your 50th appearance.
Sure.
The MLR. But I would also say with Ben Lesage, man, he's had a great season. He scored way more tries this season already than he did last year. I think he only got one last year.
Yes.
But man, he's back to his cerebral self. Like, the guy's just everywhere, complete menace in defense. Mm-hmm. Great supporter, runs great lines. He had a great couple good line breaks and offloads and stuff like that. It's just that little stuff that he does all around the pitch. So shout out to him. And then I don't think I got anybody else that was a standout performer. Everyone else kind of grounded out. So just shout out to the rest of the team for Jason going down.
A hell of a game.
He already got my shout out for getting snubbed. right. Jason, you are the fly half of the week. I'm sorry. I'm overriding the frauds at MLR social media who have no idea what they're talking about. But it was a great team win. So just shout out to the entire team, man. And geez, is there a formula brewing here, Phil? Go away, Western Conference, the state of Texas, the head coach is Scott Mathey. We make some not questionable, but people are confused at selections, yet we go down there and we get a huge win. Not just like, hey, everything went our way and we won. Like, nope, like that was actually a really big battle that we had with Houston. So shout out to the entire team for grinding it out and providing an entertaining match, as the write-up mentioned at the beginning. It was what an incredible match to watch. If at the end of the year, I would say this would be one where if you're pulling from the entire MLR that you would want to go back and just rewatch from start to finish, this is going to be one of them. So
it was a awesome. Great game for the neutrals out there. It was high scoring. You know, the Free Jacks did a great job. And obviously Houston in the first half, if you're like a forwards guy, you love scrums, watch that, because they had some really, really pretty ones in there. Absolute domination in that aspect. Really, really great game to watch. And I'll just say again, an amazing Scott Mathey masterclass. As you're referencing, back in 2022, we took a squad that most people would consider our B team down to Austin, who was high flying at that time, the Jabronis, and got the W. And this is kind of similar to that in that way, where we're not starting certain guys that you would expect to be every week starters and still getting the W. So very, very awesome to see that as well.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. And with that being said, we've got one word to exit the video in 3, 2, 1. Huzzah!